بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم۔ ناظرین محترم، آپ کو اہل بیت ٹی وی کے بحرین کے حوالے سے اس خصوصی پروگرام میں خوش آمدید کہتے ہیں۔ ناظرین، حق و باطل کا معرکہ تو ابتدائی کائنات سے قابل و قابیل ہوں یا حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام فرعون کے سامنے برسرے پیکار، کبھی بھی اہلیان حق نے باطل کے سامنے سرنگو نہیں کیا۔ لیکن آج کے اس ترقی یافتہ دور میں آج کا انسان ایک مشکل میں گرفتار نظر آتا ہے، جہاں ہم نے انتہائی جدید مشینری کے ذریعے مختلف ترقی یافتہ ٹیکنالوجیز کے ذریعے انسانیت کی خدمت کی، وہیں میڈیا نے ہمیں دور دراز ہونے والے واقعات کو چند سیکنڈز میں ہمارے سامنے لا کے پیش کر دیا۔ لیکن جہاں اس کا یہ فائدہ ہوا، وہیں پہ ایک نقصان کا سامنا کرنا پڑا کہ آج جو طاقتور جوائنٹس ہیں میڈیا کے، یہ ایسے محسوس ہوتا ہے جیسے ان کے اختیار میں آ گیا ہو کہ وہ کسی بھی سفید کو کالا اور کسی بھی سچ کو جھوٹ کر کے پیش کر سکتے ہیں، اور انتہائی خوبصورتی سے مکمل تصویر دکھائے بغیر حق کو باطل اور باطل کو حق بنا کے پیش کر دیا جاتا ہے۔ تو اس کشمکش میں گرفتار انسان کئی دفعہ بالکل ایک گرے ایریا میں نظر آتا ہے کہ مجھے کیا کرنا چاہیے، حق کیا ہے اور باطل کیا ہے۔ لیکن وہیں پہ خدا وحدہ لا شریک نے ہمیشہ سے ایسی ہستیوں کو، ایسے واقعات کو ہمیشہ انسانوں کی رہنمائی کے لیے رکھا ہے۔ تو میں بحرین کی صورتحال کو اسی تناظر میں دیکھ رہا تھا کہ آپ دیکھیں، اب عرب سپرنگ کی بات ہوئی، ہماری جو سپر پاورز ہیں، جو جن لوگوں نے عالم حق کو اٹھائے ہوئے نعرہ لگایا کہ ہم نے انسانیت کی بقا کے لیے، ہم نے انسانیت کے لیے مختلف قسم کے ایکشنز لیتے ہوئے اوپریسرز کو سرنگوں کیا اور انسانیت کی خدمت کی، لیکن وہیں پہ اگر آپ ٹھہر کے دیکھیں تو ایک ایسی صورتحال، ایک ایسی تحریک جو بحرین میں شروع ہوئی، تو وہ ایک دم ہمارے سامنے اس تصویر کو واضح کر دیتی ہے کہ اگر یہ سب کچھ حق کے لیے تھا اور باطل کو سرنگوں کرنا مقصود تھا، تو بحرین کے مسلمانوں کا کیا قصور ہے؟ بحرین میں ہونے والی یہ تحریک، بحرین میں ہونے والی یہ بیداری میڈیا کی اس طرح سے پذیرائی کیوں نہیں حاصل کر سکی؟ اور وہاں کے لوگوں نے کیا قصور کیا تھا کہ انہیں اس طرح سے کوریج نہیں دی گئی، ان کے سٹانس کو اس طرح سے بیان نہیں کیا گیا، اور ان کی تمام جد و جہد کو جہاں پہ قربانیاں دی گئیں، وہاں پہ شہادتیں دی گئیں، وہاں لوگ سڑکوں پہ آئے، وہاں پہ انہوں نے سب کچھ اپنا داؤ پہ لگا دیا، لیکن جو پذیرائی باقی تحریکوں کو ملی وہ یہاں پہ کیوں نہیں؟ اور آج جس چند ایک واقعات کو سامنے رکھ کے پورے میڈیا پہ جیسے تسلط برقرار کر لیا گیا ہو۔ تو اس طرح کی مختلف تحریکیں، اس طرح کے مختلف واقعات ہمارے لیے اس تمام صورتحال کو شفاف کرنے کے لیے کافی ہیں کہ شاید یہ سب کچھ حق کے لیے نہیں تھا، بلکہ ہر کوئی اپنے مفاد کی خاطر، جہاں اس کا مفاد ہے، جو اس کے لیے بہتر ہے، جو وہ حاصل کرنا چاہ رہا ہے، اسے حق کا لبادہ دے کے دنیا کو یہ دکھانے کی کوشش کر رہے ہیں کہ ہم یہ حق کے لیے کر رہے ہیں، لیکن وہ اصل میں حقیقت اس سے بہت مختلف ہے۔ آج اسی تناظر میں بحرین کی تحریک کے حوالے سے بات کرنے کے لیے اہل بیت اسٹوڈیو میں ہمارے ساتھ کچھ مہمان ہیں جن کے ساتھ گفتگو کا سلسلہ جاری کریں گے۔ میں تعارف کراتا چلوں، ہمارے ساتھ موجود ہیں انتہائی فیمس ایکٹیوسٹ محترم شبیر رضوی صاحب، جو کہ ڈائریکٹر ہیں انٹرنیشنل ڈائیلاگ فاؤنڈیشن کے، جو ایک تھنک ٹینک ہے، اور اکنامک اور پولیٹیکل ایکٹیوسٹ ہیں، کمنٹیٹر ہیں۔ اس حوالے سے ان کی بہت کنٹریبیوشن ہے، خصوصاً میڈیا میں بھی اس حوالے سے اکثر آپ کو ملیں گے اپنے خیالات کا اظہار کرتے ہوئے، اور ان چند افراد میں ہیں جو ہمیشہ حق کے لیے آپ کو سرگرم نظر آئیں گے۔ ان کے ساتھ شامل ہیں برادر ظہیر عباس جعفری صاحب، جو کہ ایجوکیشنلسٹ ہیں، ان کو بھی ہم اسٹوڈیو میں خوش آمدید کہتے ہیں، اور لنڈن کی جس طرح ملٹی کلچرل کمیونٹی ہے اسی کو ریپرزینٹ کرتے ہوئے آج ہمارے ساتھ اسٹوڈیو میں نہ صرف انڈیا سے، پاکستان سے، بلکہ ایک ساتھی عراق سے بھی موجود ہیں. So I would like to welcome brother Amin Kubba, who is from Iraq. He's activist. So if you go to any protest, especially in regards to Bahrain, you will find him everywhere shouting against the oppressors. So thank you very much for joining us, brother. And welcome to this program. So as I discussed, it would be a mixed discussion. It would be Urdu and English together. So it's a multicultural society of London. It's a multicultural kind of پینل ٹو ڈے. سو میں گفتگو کا آغاز کروں گا محترم شبیر رضوی صاحب سے کہ آپ اس بحرین کی صورتحال کے حوالے سے آپ کا نقطۂ نظر کیا ہے؟ آپ اس حوالے سے کچھ لوگوں کو، اسپیشلی میں ان سے یہ اس لیے پوچھنا چاہوں گا کہ آپ پچھلے سال جب ناک ڈاؤن کیا گیا جو آئیکن تھا بحرین کی تحریک کا، تو یہ ان شاید واحد شخصیت ہیں لنڈن میں جو پچھلے سال وہاں پہ موجود تھے، تو آپ کی ایک فیلنگ، ایک پرسنل فیلنگ بھی ہوگی وہاں کے لوگوں کے کیا جذبات تھے، کیا موومنٹ میں جب آپ نے ان پرسن سے ملے، اس لیے میں چاہوں گا کہ آپ کے خیالات اس بارے میں سنا جائیں.
السلام علیکم.
وعلیکم السلام.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. فرسٹلی اگر میں اجازت ہو کریکٹ کر لوں، رضوی نہیں ہے، رضوی نام ہے میرا. جسٹ اے مائنر کریکشن. دیکھیں بھائی، آپ کا انٹروڈکشن بہت ہی اچھا، بہت ہی یعنی کہ کلیئر، اور ایشوز کو دیکھنے کے لیے اگر کوئی بھی چاہے اس کی بنا پر، اٹ واز ویری اپروپریٹ. یعنی کہ اکثر گفتگو یہی ہوتی ہے، ہر ایک جو ہے چاہتا ہے کہ وہ ظالم کے خلاف آواز اٹھائے. ہر وقت جو ہے اپریسر کے خلاف رہتا ہے، جو اپریسڈ ہے اسی کے ساتھ. آپ چھوٹے سے ایشو میں دیکھ لیں، مثلاً کرکٹ میچ ہوتا ہے یا فٹ بال میچ ہوتا ہے، جو بھی ویک ٹیم ہوتی ہے اکثر لوگ چاہتے ہیں کہ وہ ویک ٹیم جیت جائے. ہر ایک نہیں چاہتا ہے کہ مینچسٹر یونائٹیڈ ہر وقت جیتے. تو یہ ایک انسان کی فطرتاً
فطری
ہے کہ یعنی کہ ہیومن سائیکالوجی ریکوائرز اس ٹو بی ود دا اپریسڈ پیپل، ناٹ ٹو بی ود دوز ہو آر اپریسنگ اذرز. دس از سمپل. آئی تھنک اٹ مے بی گاڈ گیون گفٹ، از پارٹ آف آر ڈی این اے if you like, either because no one would ever, even the worst criminal and the worst oppressor would say that I am an oppressor.
You don't want to be in that category. He won't like it.
یعنی کہ کوئی یہ کبھی اقرار نہیں کرے گا کہ میں ظالموں میں سے ہوں. یعنی کہ اگر یزید کو بھی کہے وہ بھی نہیں کہے گا کہ میں ظالم تھا مثلاً،
کبھی.
سمجھ رہا؟ تو یہ ایک فلاسفیکل پوائنٹ ہے اور ایک اہم صرف گفتگو ہو سکتی ہے، مگر آبویسلی کیونکہ وہ موضوع نہیں ہے اور وہ وقت نہیں ہے تو اس پر یہاں پر روک دیا جا سکتا ہے. اچھا، جہاں تک آپ بحرین کی گفتگو کر رہے ہیں، دیکھیے بحرین جو ہے چھوٹا سا آئی لینڈ ہے. وہاں کی پاپولیشن اگر لوکل، جن کو وطنی کہا جائے، 700,000 ملین بھی نہیں ہے. یعنی کہ لندن کے ایک بستی میں آ جا سکتے ہیں پورے بحرین کے لوگ چاہیں تو. اچھا، اس میں جو ہے 70-80% شیعہ پاپولیشن ہے، میجورٹی. مگر ایشو جو ہے امیزنگلی بیوٹیفل ہے کہ یہاں پر سیکٹیرین بات نہیں ہوتی ہے. خصوصاً جو ڈیمونسٹریشنز ہوتے ہیں یا جو نعرے ہیں، دا سلوگنز ان بحرین ہیو آلویز بین we are neither Shia nor Sunni, we are from Bahrain.
We are from Bahrain.
Okay,
yeah.
Which is very, very important to understand. Kyunki narrative jo duniya bhar ke samne pesh ki jati hai media ke taluq se, main media, wo yehi hai ke wahan par Shia julus kar rahe hain, Shia demonstrate kar rahe hain, wahan par ruling party jo hai wo Sunni hai, to unke khilaf yeh movement chal rahi hai. To yeh issue ko jo hai ہمیں نگیٹ کرنا بہت ہی ضروری ہے، اور نہ صرف ہمیں، بحرینی خود اس کو نگیٹ کرتے ہیں.
بلکہ اس میں ایڈ کروں، مجھے یاد ہے سلیمانیہ ہاسپٹل کا وہ دکھا رہے تھے، जब वहाँ पे आर्मी आई और लोग आए, उन्होंने इस बारे में क्रिएट करने की कोशिश की हाइप, तो वहाँ पे मुझे याद है सुन्नी डॉक्टर्स ने आके, वो सामने आके बड़ी साफ, यहाँ पे शिया सुन्नी का या उस तरह का नहीं है।
किसी भी इंसान से अगर लंदन में या किसी शहर में भी जाके पूछा जाए कि तुम अप्रेसर के साथ हो या अप्रेस के साथ हो, 99% समझता, 100% कहेंगे नहीं नहीं। अच्छा, मगर प्रॉब्लम ये होता है कि जिस तरह से आपके इंट्रोडक्शन में जैसा आप फरमा रहे थे कि मीडिया का प्रेजेंटेशन, देखिए एक चीज़ होती है झूठ और एक होता है सच, और उसमें ब्लैक एंड व्हाइट डिस्टिंक्शन बड़ी आसानी से हो जाता है। यानी कि अगेन वो एक कुदरती ताकत है इंसान को समझ लेने के लिए कि सच है, मगर जहाँ पर झूठ और सच को मिलाकर पेश किया जाता है और वहाँ पर ही असल कन्फ्यूजन पैदा होता है, ना सिर्फ आम पब्लिक के जहन में मगर ज़्यादातर पढ़े लिखों के जहन में और ज़्यादा होता है। दुश्वारी ये होती है कि पढ़ा लिखा अपने आप को समझता है कि मैं ज़हीन हूँ, मैं काबिल हूँ, मैंने जो है इतने PhD लेकर एक तीर मार लिया है तो मैं जो कुल इल्म हूँ, तो उसको आसानी से। और इमाम खुमैनी ने इस मौजू पर बहुत अच्छा कहा था कि पढ़े लिखे को कन्फ्यूज करना ज़्यादा आसान है बनिस्बत जाहिल को। इमाम खुमैनी की सेइंग्स में सही है। तो ऑब्वियसली किसी और प्रोग्राम में हम इमाम खुमैनी के बारे में बात करें, मगर यानी कि कहने का मकसद ये है कि truth and what is untrue is easily visible, easily clear. جہاں تک بحرین کا تعلق ہے جو میں عرض کر رہا تھا کہ بحرین آلدو چھوٹا ملک ہے, پاپولیشن کم ہے, مگر کہنا چاہیے کہ ایک پیوٹل نیشن ہے جہاں پر آئیلینڈز آف بحرین ہیں, خلیج میں بہت ہی اہم پوزیشن میں ہیں. ایک تو یہ ہے وہ لفظ سعودی میں اکثر اوائڈ کرتا ہوں استعمال کرنے کے لیے, کیونکہ کوئی ملک میری ذہن میں اس وقت اس دنیا میں نہیں ہے جو فیملی کے نام سے مشہور ہو, یعنی کہ کوئی کمپنی ہو یا کوئی PLC ہو یا کوئی لمیٹڈ کمپنی ہو, وی کین کال اٹ, یو نو, شبیر رضوی PLC, بٹ ٹو کال اے کنٹری بائی دا نیم آف اے فیملی آئی تھنک اٹس آؤٹ ریجیس, اٹس ڈسکسٹنگ, اٹس انبیلیویبل.
اٹ از دی اونلی کنٹری ان دا ورلڈ ہو ہیز گاٹ اے نیم آن اے فیملی.
Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth comes from the House of Hanover, and you know they don't call it, you know, Hanover Land, you know, still call it England or Britain or whatever. So it's quite an audacity for a piece of land to be named after a family.
Yes. I think if you say like if it's called Saudi Arabia, I think the king is might be ill, because he thinks everything in that land belongs to him. Does he actually think the people belong to him as well? That's what I'm thinking now. Like,
yeah, possibly. Possibly. You know, but I think, you know, if you look at it, you know, it really is a pathetic way to call a country by a family name. All right. Anyway, leaving that aside.
That's
okay. The situation of Bahrain is pivotal. Yani ki bahut hi ahem jagah par hai. Ek to jo hai wahan par American Fifth Fleet hai. سعودی سے کنیکٹڈ ہے. سعودی اتنے بدبخت ہیں کہ وہ بحرین, کیونکہ سعودی میں شراب نہیں ملتی ہے, بحرین میں شراب ملتی ہے, سو فار ڈرنکنگ دے کم ایوری تھرسڈے نائٹ اوور دا برج ٹو گیٹ ڈرنک ان بحرین اف یو لائک, یو نو, سو دیر آر مینی مینی ایشوز وچ ون ہیز ٹو لک ایٹ ناؤ سنس دی اف یو لائک آن دا بیک آف وٹ ہیپن ان ٹیونیزیا اور ایجپٹ, بحرین کی پبلک نے بھی یہ چاہا کہ وی شوڈ آلسو گیٹ فریڈم. اینڈ ون تھنگ دیٹ آئی ڈو وانٹ ٹو پوائنٹ آؤٹ ایٹ دس مومنٹ از وٹ وی ہیو ہرڈ ان دا لاسٹ 18 منتھس سنس فیبروری آف لاسٹ ایئر کہ بحرین میں پرابلم ہو رہے ہیں, مگر یقین مانیں یہ پرابلم ایک سال سے نہیں, دو سال سے نہیں, 20 سال سے. آئی بین اے وزٹر ٹو بحرین فار دا لاسٹ 20 ایئرس, آئی گو دے ایٹ لیسٹ ونس اے ایئر to Bahrain.
Wow. So okay. It's not started by last February. It's not something like Arab Spring.
Obviously, you know, I mean, the momentum they got was there. Sorry, right. Please. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So the momentum they got and the media attention in the beginning was on the back of what was happening in Tunisia, Egypt, later on in Yemen and Libya and so on. But the problem has been going on at least for a generation, if not longer. My own personal experience, as I said, having been a visitor, having talked about Bahrain for years, is that minimum, I first went to Bahrain was literally 20 years ago, in 1992. And there used to be police on the road, there used to be checking up, people were taken out of their houses, put into prisons, people were killed. All kinds of issues have been a continuous struggle in Bahrain. So to think of it that it's only for the last 18 months that the situation has become exasperated, ya dushwariyan wahan ki awam face kar rahi hai, nahi. ये जो है बिल्कुल यानी कि हिस्टोरिकल यानी कि लैक ऑफ नॉलेज की बिना पर अक्सर हम ये सोच सकते हैं. अच्छा, लीविंग असाइड के 20 साल से स्ट्रगल कर रहे हो, उससे पहले से स्ट्रगल कर रहे हैं, क्योंकि असल में बहरीन में जो है कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल असेंबली थी 1971 में, पहले पार्लियामेंट्री इलेक्शंस हुए थे बहरीन में, और फिर उसको जो है वहाँ की रूलिंग फैमिली जो है खलीफा फैमिली, यू नो मैं खलीफा फैमिली को एक्चुअली खलीफा क्लान कहता हूँ, यू नो कि खलीफा क्लान जो है दे डिसबैंडेड द पार्लियामेंट, और फिर उसके बाद अगेन सॉर्ट ऑफ डायरेक्ट रूल फ्रॉम द फैमिली होने लगा. एंड रियली आप अगर देखें तो बहरीनी पब्लिक का जो ओरिजिनल डिमांड था वो ये नहीं चाह रहे थे कि मोनार्की को ख़त्म कर दिया जाए, वो कह रहे थे कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल मोनार्की की जाए, जैसे यहाँ पर ब्रिटेन में है या स्वीडन में है या नॉर्वे में है, डेनमार्क में, हॉलैंड में, हर जगह यूरोप में जो है ठीक है आप जो है बादशाह हैं या किंग हैं आप,
बट द पार्लियामेंट इज देयर, द प्राइम मिनिस्टर इज देयर, दे हैव पावर्स.
एग्जैक्टली. सो द ओरिजिनल डिमांड ऑफ द पीपल इन बहरीन वाजंट टू गेट रिड ऑफ द मोनार्की, बट इन द लास्ट 18 मंथ्स द रूलिंग फैमिली हैज बीन सो ब्रूटल टू द पब्लिक. You know, if you look at, you know, say for example, Egypt ke revolutionary movement mein, let's say 700-800 people were killed. In Bahrain, I mean, as a proportion of 80 million, that's probably 0.1% of the population. All right. However, if you look at out of 700,000, if 200 people get killed, that's a huge percentage.
That's a huge percentage, yeah, true.
Okay, so it's not always just a numbers game that only 200 people have got killed in Bahrain, but actually, you know, maybe about 5% or 1% of the population.
But 200 isn't a little anyway.
No, no,
so when you have a government who's killed 200 of his people in 1 year and there's no explanation for this, that's a tyrant government. It shouldn't be there from
the start. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I know, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. No, my intention was just to sort of illustrate. Sometimes, you know, you read in the media that, the killings hasn't been that bad, or, you know, of course it's sad that one individual gets killed, but numbers. But if you look at it as a proportion, the other point also to remember,
that's not the issue.
No,
that's again another gray area.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way media is presenting, look at very few people being killed compared to the countries.
The media will only tell you there was a clash last night between protesters, which in fact are not protesters, are revolutionaries. See, the media, when it talks about Syria, it's going to tell you the revolutionaries done this and this. This is the BBC I'm talking about. Revolutionaries done this.
Any channel, yeah.
Any channel. I don't mean just the BBC, but like my recent example, like which I was watching. And then you look at them talking about Bahrain, they'll be like the protesters. See, they're not protesting, they actually, these are the revolutionaries as well. So this is a revolution happening. So this is how the media plays games. It doesn't want, it wants people to undermine what's actually happening in Bahrain. It wouldn't tell you it won't tell you the story, it won't tell you what the people want. It won't tell you the reasons the people are out there, and it won't tell you what the people are doing and how peaceful they are. It will tell you a clash between the protesters and the raging forces. It will call them police officers, but they're not police officers. They are actually mercenaries. But that's how the media is.
From various, and that's again, it's really miserable. They've been appointed from various countries. I mean, what they call police officers.
Well, I mean, after March last year, because people were in Pearl Square for a whole 30 days, and then I think it was 14th of March when Pearl Square was demolished. What you've also got to understand is that the police force leaving aside the Saudi and the Khaliji, the Gulf forces that came into Bahrain to rescue the Khalifa clan, if you like, majority, or I would say 100% of the police population or police force in Bahrain is of Pakistani origin. They're Balochis. Okay, they don't speak Arabic. Firstly, they go into the houses. They have no association with the local Bahraini people. They just pull, you know, it's like, you know, if your cousin or your brother or your cousin's cousin or your friend's friend is a local person, then you might have some sympathy. You know, what happened in Egypt, why the army didn't shoot at the demonstration, because they were same family. Here, these are Baloch from Pakistan who are there just as mercenary on a payroll of the Khalifa family, and they go and do anything because it doesn't bother them.
And sir, I would like to add one more thing. They have been recruited from a specific area in Pakistan as well.
Yes.
It's not, especially to Bahraini brothers and sisters. I mean, it's not like every Pakistani is like, to be honest, everybody is against that oppression.
Sure.
But the people being recruited as from specific area who are carrying out all these atrocities in Pakistan against, again, they are trying to make it a Shia-Sunni issue in Pakistan and trying to kill innocent people. And they specifically recruited people from similar territory, and they've been appointed in Bahrain, and that's really unfortunate, and it's really very sad when we hear about it. There are Pakistani guys being recruited there and doing all this oppression over there.
Sure. Really, no, you're quite right to point out that obviously, you know, it's not all the Pakistanis, and I think, you know, there's been huge support in Pakistan for the oppressed people of Bahrain, and there have been demonstrations for the last many, many occasions. Coming back to what you were earlier sort of asking is, how was it in Pearl Square? You see, ek cheez aapko gaur karni padegi ke Pearl Square mein or Pearl Square jahan par log jama ho rahe the, wahan par har qisam ke log the. Wahan par naujawan the, boodhe the, بیمار تھے, صحت مند تھے, پیسے والے, غریب, ہر قسم کے, اور شیعہ بھی تھے, سنی بھی تھے.
جی
اچھا, الحمدللہ میں خوش نصیب فیل کرتا ہوں کہ تقریباً چار راتیں میں نے پرل اسکوائر میں گزاری.
اس دوران
یس یس آئی مین آئی ارائیوڈ ایٹ مانما ایئر پورٹ ڈائریکٹلی فرینڈ آف مائی فادرز ہو ویو نون فار مینی مینی ایئرز ہی پک می اپ فرام دا ایئر پورٹ. I put my baggage in the house and I said, you know, drive me to Pearl Square, which is not far from it. So he gave me a sleeping bag and a pillow. He said, take this with you.
Because you see lots of people, they have got camps there, the
yes,
kids
yes,
with
yes,
their
yes,
pimpins
yes,
there.
Sure,
so it's
sure.
like, yeah.
And the other thing is that wahan par, yani ke, at any given time, there were 50 to 60,000 people. And on a big occasion, there would be 100,000 people. Main keh raha tha population 700,000 hai. Usme se 100,000 log jama ho jaye, that means 15% of the whole of the island was demonstrating in Pearl Square on many, many occasions.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that again is a very,
very
large number. I mean, masalan, main ek family ko janta hu wahan par, medical doctor hai. His daughter is well known, his son-in-law is well known, and so on. And he's a Sunni medical doctor. I was sort of there Friday morning because I made a documentary which was shown on one of the other channels after I came back from Bahrain. And I know him very well. I said, what are you doing here, doctor? He says, and this is a Sunni doctor, remember. He said, Shabir, I come here every morning to see that all the medical facilities are good, so that if there's any sort of medical aid needed,
right.
then everyone could have it available.
Wow.
So there were camps, doctors' camps, lawyers' camps, students' camp, media camp, you know, all the youth, the youngsters, let's say under 25, they were there supporting the journalists who were there from overseas, you know, who could sort of communicate in different languages with those journalists. All kinds of support was there. And the atmosphere was, yani ke kehna chahiye ke ek mela laga hua hai. Everyone was happy, you know. To is lihaz se jo Pearl Square ki situation thi, یقینی طور پر آپ نے ڈاکیومنٹریز اور یہ دیکھی ہوں گی جو ٹی وی پر بتائی گئی اس دوران کی کہ لوگ جو ہے کافی پازیٹیو تھے جو اس سچویشن ہو سکتا ہے کہ خلیفہ کلان جو ہے سمجھ لے کہ चेंजेस लाने चाहिए, जैसे मैंने कहा कि शुरू में उनका डिमांड कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल मोनार्की का था, मगर क्योंकि ब्रुटैलिटी और ऑपरेशन इतना हुआ, यानी कि यार बूढ़ी औरतों को मारा गया वहाँ पर, ओके 60 ईयर्स ओल्ड 70 ईयर ओल्ड ओल्ड वुमेन हैव बीन किल्ड. Mr. Khwaja, who is a human rights activist, he's been put in prison. His daughter comes on TV, as you might have seen, and Zainab. Zainab. She talks quite a lot. And Nabil, who is also a human rights activist, he's been dragged from his house and put in prison. And you see the whole brutality continuing. But to me, as a British national, as a Londoner living in this country, the biggest tragedy of the situation is that a channel like the BBC, which we as licensed fee payers, does not cover Bahrain in a proper way. It's a total blackout. All right. So we living in this country, we can demand of the BBC, why aren't you covering this? You know, what is your agenda? We know what their agenda is, but at least as license fee payers, we can demand, we can write to the Director General saying that give us information on Bahrain. What's going on? Send your journalist there. Cover something. You know, these are practical things. Jo hum kar sakte hain.
That's our right as well. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Shabir Radhavi. And I would like to continue with Brother Amin Kuba, a young activist. I remember going to protests in Bahrain. I'll find him almost every time, shot in against oppression. So, and especially there are so many young guys over there, always present over there. So I would like to ask you, why do you think is so important to support our brothers and sisters in Bahrain? What do you think? What's the more motivation?
I mean, it's about why you said why we should support our brothers in Bahrain. Let's consider who we is. If we're talking about a Shia, well, today we'd think that the blood that I spilled today, if I wasn't aware, if I did not put myself in this mentality, I think the blood being spilled there today is the blood that is being spilled any other place, and this is just blood that gives life, and if without it you don't have life. But that blood isn't just normal blood. The blood that I spilled in Bahrain today is the same blood that was spilled in Karbala. It's the blood of an oppressed who stood up to an oppressor. It's the blood of Imam Hussein when he stood up to Yazid. So Imam Hussein had 72 Nasreen. But that was at that time. How much he has today, how much he has throughout the whole of Allah's creation, the life we've been given on earth, that depends on us. We can choose how many we want. This is your chance to say, if I was at the time of Imam Hussein, I would have stood by him. Because this is the same story being repeated over generations. Life, it's just it's repetition, basically.
And if I would add, like, it's not only Shias, it's Shia or Sunnis, brother. No, I mean,
my first part. I'm saying if you're looking at it from a Shia view, but this doesn't mean if you're looking at it from a Sunni view, it's not the same. But my point is, I'm not saying it's Shia blood either. I'm saying it's oppressed people's blood who stood up to an oppressor. Yeah. But I'm saying as in to look at it from a Shia view. Now, if you look at it from a Sunni view, you're a Muslim, I'm a Muslim, right? If you're gonna, I'm a Shia myself, and I protest for Palestine sometimes when I'm available. So if I'm gonna protest for Palestine, I've never asked, are the people in Palestine Shia or Sunni? I've known they are Sunni, but I still go there. It's because this is the blood of the oppressed who stood up to the oppressor. It's not about I am Shia or you are Sunni. It's not about that. Secondly, if you want to look at it from another humanitarian view, well, the people who are not Muslim, they wouldn't know Imam Hussein as well as we do. They would not know how vital this blood is and how vital our actions are and how vital it is for us to prove ourselves to against oppression, our actions. So for them, it's more of how he would want to live, how he would, his children will live, and so on. So I've seen, when I go to these protests, I've seen a lot of people who are not Muslim that come to these protests. These guys are not Muslim. They don't know what Shia or what Sunni is. They don't, Yeah. They don't ask. Yeah. They even say it. They're like, yeah, I care about the Muslims in Bahrain. They know Bahrain is a Muslim majority, but they're not caring about them because they're Muslim. They're caring about them because they're humans. They have blood, flesh, as they do. And they just don't want to see this happening to their children, and they have a good heart, pure heart. And this is what a good man would do, and that's what they know. As our brother said, it's what we're born with these. We're born with these actions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's part of the DNA.
Exactly. That's what he said.
We're born with knowing what's good and what's bad. And these people, alhamdulillah, they've kept to the good side. They chose to do the good thing. And I don't see why someone should stay silent. As we said, 200 people are being killed by the government, which is meant to protect them. You see our army today in England, if someone wanted to attack me, a foreign person from outside wanted to shoot me with a missile, my army would defend me.
Yeah.
Am I right? True. See, you look at Bahrain, the army, no one attacked the people of Bahrain. Neither did the people of Bahrain attack anyone. They came out peacefully.
Yeah.
And they protested. And they said, first I'll tell you, the beginning of the Bahrain revolution, it was people who came out for different reasons. Some people came out because of lack of jobs. Some people came out because Bahrain, they didn't like the fact that their country was a pet, was a background garden for Saudi Arabia, the rich in Saudi Arabia. Some of them wasn't happy because of the sectarian issues. They wasn't treated equally. This is one of the biggest matters.
The problems. And against that, that's oppression. Oppression, they have to stand against, and they have to come out in Bahrain. And if I should continue with the brother Zahir Abbas, what do you think as a Muslim, why do you feel it's our responsibility to come out to protest for the Bahraini people or for anywhere in the world if there's an injustice, what do you think?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. First of all, we have to understand, as a Muslim, right, if I have labeled myself as a Muslim, I have to understand that I have got certain responsibilities and duties.
Yeah.
Now, in respect to that, we as one community, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said, when my ummah leaves Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, then it should wait for the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet here means, is saying that it is your duty, it is your responsibility to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Which means that we have to stand against the injustice. We have to call people for good things, and we have to forbid people by doing bad things. As a Muslim, right, there are different aspects, there are people who look into different aspects. Like, for example, some people say we can just pray. There are different mentality where they say, like, you know, what we can do. And there are some people who say, okay, we can only pray, we can't do anything, big changes.
Mm-hmm.
There is lack of knowledge, whereas people don't know that they can make a big difference, especially staying in a country like this, who has given such a big platform to raise your voice against the injustice. Whereas, as a Muslim, I have to understand where our Imam have said, Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, the Almighty Allah sent some angels to destroy the people of a particular town. When the angels reached there, they saw people worshipping. They were engrossed in worshipping. The angel said, oh Lord, why your particular slave is busy with worshipping?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to punish this town? The reply came, do not care about this man, because he has never been angry for our sake and never behaved curtly with sinners. This is a saying of our sixth Imam, where he is saying that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not leave you if you have not performed your duty. It is your duty incumbent upon you that you stand against the injustice, raise your voice, and be with the part of helpers of who are working for the cause of justice. So we need to educate ourselves that it is not as an individual. We, on a community basis, we all have to do our part. Rest, the result we have to leave to the Creator, but He has asked us to do something. We have to take one step at least so that He can help us with 10 steps. He has promised that I will definitely give you help, right? But it is our duty to come out mm-hmm. and do as much as we can. There are people who think, okay, what is the matter where we go to protest, nothing is happening and all those stuff. But we need to come out, right? We need to leave the result we want. We are very much eager to see the result very quickly. Mm. It is not possible that we would be able to see the result. We can do our part and leave the result to the Creator.
But we have to think.
We have to think where we want to stand. Right? There are different kinds of people in the society. One is just who create facade. One is just who creates, like, you know, discord among the community. Mm. There is one type of people who have been appointed by divine authority, like our prophet and Aima, who stand and who wants to establish justice in the society. There is another type of people who are sakitin. They are just silent people. They just don't care about what is happening in the society. And there is one type of people who are nasirin. Now, we need to decide in which category we have to stand in this four out of four. If we are not the person who are creating discord, okay, we are out of that. We cannot be Muslimin, we cannot be in Prophets and Aima's group, right, in that category. We either can be in Sakitin or Nasirin. If we keep quiet, we will be in Sakitin. And if we say something and we show our stand, we would be in Nasirin. So we have to decide, as an individual, we have to decide where I am going to be, in which category. And if I am doing my part, leaving aside the result, what is going to happen, that is what is the point is. We just need to come out. And if we, as an individual, everyone think that way, right, then there will be a change. Then there will be something which is going to happen. If on the other side, if I personally keep on thinking nothing happens, and if I don't go, and if people think about me, just like me, right, if you think about just like, no one is going to come out, then this is what is happening. It is very strange in a demonstration where the people, there are just 14 people. But yeah. Alhamdulillah, yesterday's demonstration was a quite big demonstration, which shows the solidarity for Bahraini brothers. Not only Bahrainis, wherever it is happening, in Syria, in Bahrain, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Palestine, we should be standing against the injustice done against the humanity, rather than race, religion, caste, creed, whatever it is. Because Islam teaches us that you have to stand against the injustice, against the humanity. Don't look at people where they are Muslims, they are not Muslims, nothing.
We have not even
learned from our Aimas. They have said you have to stand against the injustice, irrespective of whoever it is. So it is our responsibility. Whereas Imam Ali al-Islam, in one of the sayings, very famous sayings, where everyone knows about it, right? A young person was selling fish without scales, right? When Imam Ali saw him, right, he ordered 11 something to hit on it, lashes. Then he said, oh, I'm a Shia of yours. He said, okay, if you're Shia, you get 22 lashes. Then he said, oh, I didn't know about it. Okay, you get 33 lashes. Where Imam Ali was saying, the reasoning behind Imam Ali's increasing the punishment was, where you have said you are Muslim, right? You know, you should know the laws, right? Where you have said you are Shia, right? You should know more. You have taken more responsibility. And where you have said, I don't know, that means you have neglected everything. So by not knowing, right, and sitting behind that, oh, I don't know about it, it is not going to help. It is our duty as a responsibility that we should know what is happening around the world. We should be connected with the overall world's picture. And we need to, as a youth, take some responsibility, then take some steps towards this.
Thank you very much, brother. Honestly, I would like to welcome Dr. Masood Shajara,
And thank you very much, Dr. Sal, for being with us today. I know you've been very busy, you've been traveling, and at very short notice you've been here. Dr. Masood Shahjah, a very renowned activist, especially here in London, I think around the globe people know you very well now, and the chairman Islamic Human Rights Commission, so especially IHRC, the way they are campaigning for various issues around the globe, and you've been campaigning for Bahrain for a long time. So I would like to know your feelings, like regarding the whole this revelation, the issues in Bahrain, and in general in Arabic Peninsula.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity. I do apologize to the viewers if I'm a bit tired. I've been traveling. I just arrived back from Tehran today. Look, the issue of Bahrain needs to be recognized that it's not just what has happened since the Arab Spring or Islamic Awakening. It goes far, far beyond that. I mean, the report that we launched around 2 years ago in House of Lords under the title of Broken Promises, it actually highlights what has been happening for a very long time in Bahrain. The overwhelming majority of people in Bahrain, both Shia and Sunni, and we know that Shias are on the majority, but it's not just an issue for the Shia community. It's been presented that way by those oppressors because they want to marginalize the opposition to themselves. It's been going on for a very long time that the ruling family have been promising the earth and the heaven and the earth to its population, but it's breaking those promises all the time. And indeed, you know, what we have seen in the last 1.5 years is a continuation of the same thing, you know. These promises are being made and are broken, and they're being supported in that process by the whole of the Western sort of hegemony, you know, not just United States, Britain, and the EU, and indeed beyond that. The fact of the matter is that the Bahrain situation is not like elsewhere. All it needs is a click of finger from the United States, or even sort of a slight sort of eyebrows rising from Clinton to actually see the end of these oppression. And the fact of the matter also is that unlike Syria, the Bahrainis have been tremendously peaceful. They're not asking for anything which is, you know, unacceptable to the rest of the Bahraini community. I think these are certain realities that needs to be recognized regarding Bahrain. In Bahrain, people have not taken arms. In Bahrain, people have been peaceful, although they've been killed and massacred and imprisoned and tortured. And the torturing has been going on for a very long time. We're going to have one of the torturers, you know, coming here soon as a head of the Olympic sort of...
Yeah, that's really a shame, to be honest.
It really is outrageous. You know, sort of a few months ago, we had a side panel at the United Nations for Bahrain. And a number of lawyers and ex-MPs who they themselves have been tortured. They came over to give evidence. And what the Bahraini government did was brought one of these generals, torturers, into the meeting, I mean, in the United Nations. And, you know, we raised up the issue that, look, this guy has come here to intimidate people, saying that I've tortured you, and now I come sit in the United Nations, and I intimidate you, and if you go on saying what you're saying, you're going to come back with me to Bahrain, and I will torture you again.
It's a kind of show of power, how powerful I am.
And this is really outrageous. And they're managing to get away with murder. I mean, you know, we have got, we're talking about the responsibility of British government. We have got police officers like Yates, who's actually there part of torturing and organizing these oppressions. You know, this was a police officer which was the head of the anti-terrorism here, was disgraced over the issue of hacking telephones. And now he's actually there involved in oppressing our brothers down there.
In Bahrain.
You know, in Bahrain. And this hasn't been exposed. people like him should be prosecuted when they come back here because they're part of torturing innocent people. I think the thing goes on quite a lot, and you know, we could be sitting down here for hours talking about every incident indeed is taking place there. But what the brothers I heard were saying is absolutely true. We need to stand. We are people of Amr Ma'ruf Nahy Munkar, and we need to practice that, and we need to understand how to practice that. But also we need to understand what our what responsibilities on us. Yeah. I mean, I was away. I was watching these demonstrations of yesterday. I wasn't in London to join it, but I was watching it, and I was reading the sort of the campaigns that was going on before the demonstration, urging people to come. And I was really shocked on one issue. I mean, I saw in the campaign. I didn't see him on the footage that I saw, but I saw Peter Tatchell was invited as a speaker. I mean, this man is an Islamophobe. You know, if you have any doubt of his Islamophobic credential, go to the Islamophobia Watch. I mean, the guy is actually hates Islam, and actually says, he talks about moderate and non-moderate. What he considers moderate are those who actually accommodate homosexuality in Islam, and everybody else is extremist.
All right.
And then he campaigns against the Quds demonstration. He's actually calls Iran a fascist state. He's actually campaign and he talks about anybody who gave a fatwa regarding Salman Rushdie or supported that is fascist, etc., etc. So he actually, and he acknowledged that overwhelming majority of Muslims believe in Quran, which actually have got certain position on the issue of homosexuality. But nevertheless, he considers all of us who actually take that position, i.e. we confess that Quran is the word of Allah, are fascist and so forth. And you bring a person like that to come and spend, to support Bahrainis, it's disgraceful. It really is disgraceful. Is. Because we are saying that we're not relying on Allah. We actually bring in enemies of Allah to come and help to support those who are standing for justice. We are really modding the whole argument. And we get completely confused that are we really making a stand because as a responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sharia, and we are taking a Husseini sort of a stand that really the end result is the pleasure of Allah and establishing justice, and standing for justice and even giving our lives for justice is a sort of victory. Yeah. Rather than, having this secular mind and everything else mixed up, let's bring a couple of, dancers and everything else, mix up with the whole thing, and then see that will bring some sort of result. It doesn't.
Yeah, we don't need to add numbers. We need more.
Well, I actually think it's not the numbers, and also it's the methodology that we use. We follow Islam and Muhammadi. And from that point of view, we've got an example in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Aimah, and we know what is actually, we all talk about Imam Hussein and Karbala. It's a fantastic sort of, it could teach you almost everything you need to know. But we talk about it, but then when it comes to action, we start
mitigating in practical.
Our secular teaching and learning gets into the gear, and we sort of say, oh, well, let's do it this way. The issue is not just using the name of Imam Hussein. The issue is using the methodology of Imam Hussein. And that is very important. I sort of think that sometimes, and this is very important, that because, we all love Ahlul Bayt, and in particular, I myself, I'm sort of love Imam Hussein. But, we sort of tend to sort of use Imam Hussein sometimes as just a talking point, and not as a great example to follow. And we need to go back to those basic understanding. We go to Majalis, and then we use Imam Hussein almost like a stick, to hit each other or even hit others. But Imam Hussein is a light that should enlighten the whole creation, And we never promote it in that way. And then sometimes I think I'll give you an example. Last Muharram, one of the brothers who went overseas and was giving talks on Ashura and so forth, he told me that he went to a certain part of the, I won't say where, because and he was giving talk on one night about the characteristics of those who followed Yazid, and then the characteristic of those who followed Imam Hussein. And then he had a complaint from the mosque committee that some people have gone and complained and said that this guy is talking that we are Yazidis. and he said, well, I'm not. I'm just talking about this characteristic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I think we need to understand that, yes, sometimes we need to cleanse. I mean, the whole issue of these majalis is for us to learn how to behave better.
True.
You know, Surah Al-Munafiqeen was revealed, it has been said that overwhelming majority of Muslims stayed home for a number of days. They were really scared to go out because they said they saw certain part of that characteristics in themselves. And you know, they should be fearful. I mean, when you read the Quran, you should be affected. You know, we all should be affected. It should really affect us, put fear in our hearts that, you know, look, we need to cleanse ourselves,
yeah.
We need to be better. Rather than, you know, blaming the messenger who actually brings the message. I think it's very important. You know, when Peter Tatchell was invited to stop the war around 4 or 5 months ago, we made a complaint to stop the war that this Islamophobe should not be given a platform. And I think we need to do that with any Islamophobe or any racist or any sort of fascist. But the fact of the matter is to have his name appear on something like that, it sort of belittles the campaign. It actually gives respectability to someone who should have no respectability. And I don't think, you know, I could sort of on the ground that it would bring no benefit because this is not the way of, you know, haq and truth and Imam Hussein or Ahlul Bayt or Islamic concept. You don't sort of compromise on those things because victory comes through following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. Victory is not going to come through anything else. It's not going to come through me taking 10 steps instead of 8 or 20 instead of 10. It comes through commitment by people, but also through prayers and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. Allah doesn't need us, but we need to be there. I mean, you know, brothers were saying that we need to go. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to see thousands of us there.
True.
You know, Allah wants to resolve that. That's it.
It's our need. It's our need to be there.
It's
to be
our
in
need
that
to
category.
Be. Absolutely. I mean, it's our need. So our brothers, don't come for the Bahrainis. Come for
True.
Your akhirah.
Exactly.
Come down there because you need to be there because on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be asked. When these children were being killed and massacred, when these people were being oppressed, what did you do?
And you knew about it as well.
And you knew about it. You see it on television every night. What did you do? So don't come for someone you don't know. Go for yourself.
I would like to add a point on brother. Like Imam Khomeini said at the time of the same thing which you are saying. Like, you know, he said there are two kinds of Islam portrayed now. Islam-e-Muhammadi, as you said, and then Islam-e-Amriki or Yazidi, who they want you to pray. They want you to do something like, you know, which is not harmful to them, right? Once you start talking about and against the oppressors, they don't want that Islam. So obviously they will just want to show an Islam which is not going to stand against the oppressors.
In other words, it's not practical.
Yes,
it's,
they don't want, yeah, they don't want to be a practical Muslim. They just want you to pray. They just want you to go back home, serve your family, pray, go back home, serve your family. They don't want Muslims to be active in the society where they just want you just shut up your mouth, close your eyes, and don't think about the truth.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the point that they don't want you to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
They want you to rely
on
everything
them.
Else. They want to rely on you know, all the other things, not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to go back to the concept, unless you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be victorious in this world or hereafter.
Inshallah.
Which is a live example of in Iran. They are relying on God alone, and that is the reason they have been progressing. So we need to go back to the basics and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can be victorious. So,
brother Shabir, you are going to add something.
I think, thank you very much, brother Masood. I was going to bring that point about Peter Tatchell. Since I saw that name on the email, I said, what game are these brothers playing?
And Tariq Ali as well.
Well, Tariq Ali is probably, you know, he's been reasonably understanding, if you like. You know, he's been critical of the Islamic Revolution and other issues, but I don't think he's an out-and-out Islamophobe. And he's certainly a more academically intellectual person than Peter Tatchell, if you like. You know, Peter Tatchell is someone should not be even touched with a barge pole for any of us who are active in the Islamic movement. And I was perplexed, really, when I saw that name. And I'm glad you brought this up, because this, the audience who are watching this would be in thousands and all over the world. For us, for them to understand that if they're going to have a demonstration in New York or Toronto or wherever, that they should be not only cautious, but actually filter through those individuals who have this characteristic of being Islamophobe in a very open way, because there are individuals who don't hide. Okay, that's one issue. And secondly, you know, what good would someone like Peter Tatchell bring to the movement? You know, you've got to ask that question itself. Some may think that he's a celebrity of whatever type, but he doesn't have X factor as far as I'm concerned, you know. So it doesn't bring in that issue. Now, coming back to the more, you know, that in itself is a very serious matter. But look, you know, Tony Benn, whom I love immensely, he said that, you know, in UK we've had demonstrations for the last 80, 90 years, whether it's the labor movement or whatever. Demonstrations do make an impact. You know, we sometimes, because when you're in the demonstration, you feel that, you know, there are 200 people, 2,000 people, you ain't making any change or any difference. And here, because all the brothers have been very rightly saying that victory is always in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make an effort. And here we have to remember the Quranic story of Prophet Abraham, when he was put in the fire and there was a small bird or who was taking water in the beak. And the other bird said, look here, you're wasting your time, you know, two drops of water is not going to put the fire off. And the bird replied, look, at the end of the day, when I die, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does ask me, when your prophet was in trouble, what did you do? At least I can say to my God that whatever was in my power, and my power was to take a few droplets of water and put it on the fire, and that's it. Yeah. I've done my task, you know. So it's not really, you know, sometimes because we live in a very materialistic society, we measure, we quantify, we look at the results, saying that, you know, if I've earned this much, you know, this much, what I can do. So we are very result-orientated, and very result-orientated in a short span of time, in a week, in a 2 months, or a 2 years. You know, you go to university, after 3 years, you come out with a piece of paper saying that you're a graduate. So you can quantify that. Similarly, with a revolutionary movement or a movement which is asking for basic human rights, fighting against the oppressor, trying to really get what is right at a very minimal level. They're not, you know, asking for anything that other people do not have on this planet, you know, to speak freely, to speak without fear, not to be dragged out of their houses early morning and put in prison, or being gassed when they're on demonstrations. As Brother Masood was saying, you know, these people have been so wonderfully peaceful since the movement in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
I don't think even one bullet has been fired by the demonstrators.
Never.
You know, yeah, it's always been from the security forces. So it becomes very clear for everyone to see that this is a totally peaceful movement against an horrendously oppressive regime there. So whatever we living outside Bahrain, as human beings, as Muslims, as Shias, need to do, it becomes our incumbent duty, If we don't, we are not only failing ourselves, we're actually failing the, you know, as believers.
Yeah.
If you like.
The whole, yeah.
Can I add something to this?
Yeah, sure.
Recently I had a protest, actually not that recent, but a few weeks ago, 8, 9 weeks ago, and my friend came to me after the protest. He's like, bro, why did we protest it? Like, I know we protested, I feel good and everything, but the embassy was closed, it's a Sunday. I was like, yeah, I started laughing, isn't it? Cause he was so serious. I was like, yeah, I know, we're not protesting for the embassy. The embassy is a symbol. He's like, yeah, but I still don't see like what we got out of today. I was like, we got three things. First of all, the protest isn't for the embassy. It's for us, it's for the people back home, and it's for the media. What we do is get the cameras down there, and the cameras will do the damage. Secondly, for ourselves, we have to remember that when you're on the path of Imam Hussein, this, you know, this, how the, Imam Hussein's boat is the widest. It's the widest boat of all of the Imams. So when you're on the path of Imam Hussein, expect the most deeds. You know, see what I'm saying? I told him, you're there in that protest for 4 hours. Every second of that protest, you're gaining deeds. Every extra word you say, you're gaining deeds. So that's enough for me. I don't need to tell you how the media works. Yeah. I don't need to tell you how it helps for the brothers back home. But I told him, I was like, secondly, back home, you see the brothers back home in Bahrain, they're protesting. We need to show them support. We need to show them solidarity. If I pointed that road, I told him, if you walk into that road and it was dark and there was no lights and someone told you that the day before someone raped someone in that road, would you walk in that road by yourself? He's like, no, obviously not. I was like, okay, so right now, if I told you, hey, bro, me and you could just came back home at night and I'm waiting for you to go home. I told you, bro, don't worry, walk through that road. I'm on the phone to you and I'm telling you, I'm looking at you. I got your back and I'm watching you. So would you walk through that road? He's like, yeah, I probably would. I was like, so there you go. When our brothers are protesting, they're saying nobody, no solidarity. They're thinking, you know what, like, I have to do this myself. I either go very extreme, do something very dangerous and lose my life, which is, I'm not saying it's wrong. Sacrificing for a revolution is a great thing. Or I need someone to support me. I don't think I want America to support my brothers back home. Not America itself, but Bush, Obama, and those kind of people, Israel. I don't want these people close to my people, because these people, when they help you, they're going to stab you in the back later. So right now, I told him, this is their support is us. And secondly, the media knows how to do its job, and I'm sure when they got their cameras down there, they got the truth, they spread the awareness for us. Well, I'm standing outside the Bahraini embassy, how many people are going to walk past me today in these 4 hours? 1,000 people. Yeah, okay. But when it's on the media, how many people are going to watch it? Hundreds of thousands. See, maybe more, maybe less.
Yeah, true. Dr. Masood, a very common phrase we hear here, it's very common, like freedom of speech, freedom of speech. Everybody talks about the freedom of speech. But what you look at your TV screens, what you look at media, especially on YouTube, other channels, or informal, we have sometimes, it's not informal or mainstream media, it doesn't look really people have freedom of speech, especially in these oppressive regimes. So you've been activist, you've been doing with IHRC, you've been trying to lobbying, and you've been trying to find, I think, facts about various issues, especially Sheikh Nimr, what happened in recent days.
Yes.
So it's really amazing, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, freedom of speech is a terminology which has been used and abused as much as
used and abused
peace and sometimes. Justice and everything else. The reality is that, you know, when we hear freedom of speech in the West, it's really just targets against Muslims, you know. You know, we sort of, if you attack and abuse people on the basis of color, you know, you're racist. If you abuse people on the basis of sexuality or homophobia and so forth, if you say anything against the Jewish community, you're anti-Semitic. And, you know, if you say anything against gender, then you're, you know, against women and so forth and so on. And if you say things against, you know, Muslims, it's freedom of speech. But when it comes to the Muslims speaking out, you know, they could never, you know, do so. I mean, we've got many Muslims sort of even put in prison
for speaking out. If you remember the young girl who wrote a poem on the back of a till receipt, and she was prosecuted as a terrorist, and no one came to in her support. We've got right now many people who are actually being banned to come into Britain on a false accusation that they have actually been anti-Semitic, etc., etc. And all these accusations are only made in websites of Zionists in Israel, and by ex sort of Mossad agents and so forth. I mean, these are well documented. But we get Islamophobes coming here all the time, and when we complain, it's all about freedom of speech. Well, you know, come on. I mean, for God's sake, you know, why freedom of speech should be one way? Even, you know, going back to Peter Tatchell, he himself has got the same double standard when it comes to the Muslims. You know, he defended a Christian who spoke out against homosexuality, but when Muslims are doing that, you know, he wants them to be prosecuted. So this is actually the culture that has been created. And we need to look into this. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at even the cartoonist and, you know, all these anti-Muslim sort of campaigns which led to hatred and, you know, hate crime. And, you know, what happened in Norway, it wasn't in a vacuum. It was part of this whole process. I think we need to sort of demand that freedom of speech is either absolute or it's got limitation. Mm. I believe it should have limitations.
It should have limitations.
But those limitations should be equally applied to everyone. You know, we want to live in a harmonious society. Hatred and creating hatred against others is not really acceptable. But the fact is this, that these days, the only people who are others are Muslims. I mean, we have become the others. We are not part of the human race. We are others. When it comes to Palestine, we are others. When it comes to Bahrain, we are others. I mean, look at the contradiction when we looking at the situation in Bahrain and the situation in Syria, or elsewhere, you know. And look at the situation of how they're trying to hijack the Islamic Awakening in Egypt.
In Egypt, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's outrageous. You know, they're still protecting the regime down there through tooth and nail. You know, allowing it to sort of dismantle the whole parliament. You know, and no one speaks out against it.
Using military, using judiciary. Even, I mean, that was strange, to be honest.
I mean, it really is absurd, and we need to be awake to these things. Mm. You were talking about Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, we recently published a report, you could go on the website, it's available in Arabic and English. We done a briefing report. We identified 30,000 political prisoners in Saudi Arabia. You know, you're talking about the 12 to 16 million population. You know, you're not talking about a huge number. 30,000
political prisoners.
We exposed some footage of people being put in prisons like sardines, you know. And you know, overwhelming majority of these brothers are not from the eastern provinces, they're not from the Shia community, they're actually from a Salafi community, which they are supposed to protect around the world. But the reality is that, you know, this is an oppressive regime. It actually oppresses its own people. This is a regime which doesn't even allow women to drive. And this is the same regime that's going around trying to promote democracy and empowerment of people in Syria. I mean, you know, I mean, this is outrageous. If there is anyone from the Muslim community who actually stands for empowerment, are those of us who actually are revolutionaries. We want to see the end of these kingship. We want to give the power back to the people, and we want them to be empowered. And, you know, in the same way that it was at the time of Hazrat Ali, you know, and even at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was the way it was. People were empowered. People were important. It wasn't that the leaders were important. It was actually the people were important.
All the time.
And we want to go to that basis. But when we look at, you know, when you look at places like Syria, and we need to discuss Syria, because Syria is very, very difficult for us to analyze. We Muslims, it's easy for us to analyze one single issue. If there is one single issue, we could sort of say, this is right and this is wrong. But if it causes multiple sort of issues within one concept,
then we get absolutely confused. And more often than not, we just keep quiet, you know, or we make decisions which are not based on facts but on prejudices. Now, the issue of Syria is very important. We want empowerment of people in Syria, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Bahrain, and everywhere else. And those places who they have got more empowerment, like Iran, we want to see more of it. You know, this is a reality. This is what our wishes are. But also in Syria, we recognize at least 40%, at most 60% of the people don't want the changes that are being enforced. And they also have got right. Forget about the leadership. You know, leaderships come and go, you know. Regimes come and go. We're talking about people. Mm. These people also have got right. Their safety, their interest needs to be guaranteed. And indeed, the other thing that needs to happen is independence of Syria needs to be guaranteed. We don't want, you know, Syria to become like Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, naval bases for USA. You know, we don't want the Zionists to get involved. I mean, in Bahrain, I don't know how many of our viewers know, you know, in Bahrain and in these Gulf state sheikhdom or kingdom, when they choose the ambassador, it has to be one of the members of family. It's always, you know, one of the brothers or cousins or, you know, nephews and so forth. And very rarely it's someone else. Never is a female, because, you know, they won't even accept them as an equal, you know, human being, you know. And, but in Bahrain, who is the ambassador of Bahrain to the United States? A Jewish woman, Bahraini Jewish woman, that there are only 12 families in the whole Bahrain. And one of them is actually ambassador. So it must be, you know, a relative, you know, they're actually considered honorably, you know, accepted as a part of the family. The reason is that they actually have given bayah to the Zionist state. And, you know, that is the only reason. There's no other reason.
I mean, it's basically just to protect their right to rule. I mean, they're making all these, they know it's wrong, but still they are making allies people. They shouldn't be doing it. I mean, that's really strange. I mean, Brother Zahid, yeah, you'd like to add something?
No, sorry, please, go ahead.
I would just like to ask you about the way we're talking, like, everybody know what's going on. Everybody know we need to play a role. What do you think our religious scholars should play a role in this?
Very good question. It is very much, very much at this moment of time required by our religious scholars to talk from the members. Every Friday we go and we pray in a Jummah, right? We just come to know how to do wudu and how to stand in the prayers. It's enough. Now we need, this Friday has to be used. This Friday, the purpose of the Friday prayers to bring all people together and make them aware about the society.
Yeah.
We are not doing our part. The religious scholars are missing the point and missing the links over here. There are, I'm not talking about all of them, right? Majority of them are not passing on the information. If we go back into the 1400 years, Imam Hussein al-Islam, when the Karbala event took place, 1 year before, he wrote letters to all the scholars. In the Hajj, 1 year before, he wrote the letters, he invited them to come there, and he gave a long sermon, and he told them, he made them realize it is your responsibility and the duties which you are not performing. That is the reason we are here at this moment of time. Because you are not performing, the rulers who are there on your head are oppressors. If you perform your duty and responsibility, then we, as appointed by the divine authority, will rule and establish justice in the society. I think personally, when we look into the sermon of Imam Hussein al-Islam, I think many of the viewers should go and learn the sermon, read the sermon of Imam Hussein al-Islam when he gave it in the Mina before, in during the time of Hajj, and he was very much clear for the people who were scholars, and he has quoted some very harsh words to them. He has said, "You have taken lightly your duties as leaders. You have neglected the rights of the oppressed and the lowly, but have assiduously pursued what you regard as your personal rights." He said, "I fear that full weight of his wrath, Allah's wrath, descend upon you. For although it is by his might and glory that you have achieved high rank." He said that because of his might and glory, you have achieved that high rank. "You show no respect to those who truly know God, while yourselves enjoy respect among God's creatures or his, on his account." He is giving all these sermons to the scholars. He's not talking about the common people. He is giving these sermons to the religious people who are responsible in their own constituencies. And he is saying, because you have kept quiet, because you have been silent, as I was talking about, you have to decide which group you are going to be. If you are going to be in the Sakitin, who are going to keep quiet, right? Obviously, you will end up in that group. But then if you have to be in Nasirin, you have to go and speak. And I think personally, religious scholars have got more responsibility who can train the common masses. We have got a beautiful platform. No one has got this platform of Namaz-e-Jumma, where we have got so many people coming in, gathering, right? And in fact, I have been reciting prayers of Jumma in Ahle Sunnah Mosque as well, but then I have not seen nothing over there as well. They have been talking about everywhere, it's the same thing. There are only few people who talk about Jumma. Jumma Khutbah is divided into two. It's like, you know, it is divided into two. One side is, okay, your religious, your spiritual side. But then the second part is there for your society to resolve your problems, resolve your family problems, resolve everything. But I don't think so it has been practiced in this part of the world. I think personally, religious scholars have to be more responsible and devote their time and efforts in preaching the right type of Islam.
I'm sorry,
just very briefly, say something. Again, you know, it's not appropriate to name, but on one of the Shia masajids, one of the scholars gave a fantastic khutbah regarding Bahrain. And really, I wasn't there, but I read the khutbah and I listened to it. It was really fantastic. May Allah protect him and guide him and give him barakah. But what happened was one of our own brothers, who was actually listening to these khutbah, complained to Charity Commission that these guys are being, you know, promoting politics. And the Charity Commission starts writing letters and putting pressure. Now, I think, you know, I agree with what you're saying. There is a responsibility on ulama, but there is also responsibility on us to protect the good ulama, to encourage them, to actually watch their back. You know, don't allow people to actually stab them. And you know, our community needs to actually turn this around. That is the other way around. When people don't say things like that, they should be demonized or put under pressure. Not demonized, put under pressure that, you know, look, please discharge your duty. Please inform us our duties regarding our brothers and so forth. And, you know, look, even in churches and synagogues, things are being said, you know, and you know, I mean, you know, the Church of England speaks out against the war and you know, against the government, although it's part of the government. And actually, I think we need to sort of encourage our ulama to do that and actually encourage to sort of change this mood that has come in recent years that, you know, things, you know, let's keep quiet, let's, you know, head our head in the sand like ostriches and let us, you know, talk about just prayers and fast and etc. and don't get involved further than that. Because the reality is that the Islam that we are confessed, Islam and Muhammadi, is actually encompassed all this. And without that, we really are abandoning the real true Islam.
Yeah, brother, I mean, you want to just want to add something.
Yeah, I wanted to add something. Yeah, it's actually quite important.
Uh-huh.
As Brother Zahir said, that they should, they really should, they have to include these things in our mosques. Whether they have to, of course, wudu, they have to teach it to the new generation as well. But I still, I agree with you completely. They have to add something to do with the problems of our ummah. Because if you look at today, we look at, secondly for Brother Masood, sorry, I wanted to say that you're, the guy who complained is completely wrong. If he complained to me, I tell him this. I tell him, when you're telling me that they're trying to introduce politics into the mosque, well, that's not the case. The case is that there's a problem, whether that problem, they should, they're introducing a problem into the mosque. Whether that problem is politics or something else, it's the problem in our society. That's the reason if you look back home in Bahrain, the mosques in Bahrain, of course, we all know they was destroyed to the floor, damaged all the way down. These are religious places where people go to pray, worship God. Of course, they damaged these mosques because they know that the people had a problem in their society. Now, where do these people go together, share the ideas, decide, plan, and carry out their protests? They're going to do it in a mosque. That's where they're going to gather around. That's why they damage these mosques.
True. So, well, I mean, we have decided not to take calls at all, to have more discussion with the panelists. So one caller is waiting for a long time now. So
please,
I'd just like to add him, yes, if you want to. You know who is calling and from where you are calling? Hello.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Jee wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Jikun.
Salam to every brother of the city over there.
Jee wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Yeah, I am from London. My name is Shafi Zala. And my question is to Masood Bhai, especially. And it's regarding rights of any national being in UK or being in their own home country. I mean, basically, whenever, like, for example, we speak about Pakistan or Bahrain, being an Indian, we are, as Islamophobia rules in our mind. We are targeted by, like, being an anti-national, or why are you supposed to speak about Pakistan, or sometimes, I think people don't come in protest, and protest against the government, that they think that being a Muslim, this should not be a right state. I mean, the fear of Islamophobia rules in every way. And what is the legal factor? I mean, can Muslim by give us a light on the legal factor, every individual has the right.
Yes, I mean, if you're talking about in Britain, we all have got the right of, assembly, and we have the right of organizing demonstrations, vigils, etc. When it comes to vigils, you don't even need to have permission. You could just go and stand in a place and express your views, be it outside any sort of embassy or anywhere else. The issue of Islamophobia is very important. You know, one of the peoples that I really respect is one of the non-Muslims who I really respected, and is Steve Biko. Steve Biko in South Africa was a leader of anti-apartheid regime. There are many of his books available. There was also a film made, Cry Freedom, regarding his life. He really is, as much as a person who is not from the same faith as we are, as to be a role model, he could be a role model. And he indeed, some areas, he is my role model. And one of the things he says the most potent and the most powerful weapon in the hand of oppressors is the mind of oppressed. If we cannot liberate our mind, we could never liberate ourselves. And Islamophobia actually feeds on that, to actually make you a second-class citizen, to actually reduce you and push you into a hole and keep you in that oppressed position. We need to liberate ourselves. We actually have got a legal aspect on our side. If anyone has got any difficulty for being in any demonstrations or anything else, please come back to us. IHRC will look after you, we will take the case, we will make the complaints, and we will follow it up. But how we will liberate our mind? You know, what I was saying earlier on, this writing to Charity Commission and so forth, is because our mind is not liberated. We need to liberate our mind. We have got God-given right to stand up against oppressors. As a matter of fact,
It's not a right, it's a duty.
It's a duty.
You know, and you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how could you not rise and fight? Fight, not demonstrate. Fight against those who are oppressing people, who are crying and praying, Ya Allah, send us a protector, send us someone to help. This is a duty. Here, very clearly, people are crying and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. It becomes a duty upon us. We should not neglect that duty. It is a right, but it's a duty. We need to go beyond that. You know, what Allah has given you as a duty and as right, you know, we need to make sure that that becomes part of the law. In this country, you know, to go to demonstrations and to stand up against these things, it's something, you know, is a right of everyone, and indeed, you know, it's something that is looked upon. You know, those who go are seen as positive characters. Sure. And if, as I said, if any of our viewers have got any problem for going to any demonstration, let us know. We will follow it up and we'll make sure that that sort of thing won't happen in future.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sam. It's really been a very fruitful discussion. I would like to carry on, but we're short of time. So I would request all of my panelists to make their concluding remarks. If you want to add up something.
I just want to sort of quickly take up 3 points, but very rapidly.
Sure.
I don't like quoting American presidents, but I think this statement is very, very good, which Roosevelt said that the biggest fear mankind has is fear itself. And one of the fantastic things that has happened out of the what has been happening in the Middle East or in Pearl Square is that the fear that people had of the oppressive regime, they've come out of that fear. So when you come out of that fear, you can achieve a lot. And it's very much related to what Brother Masood was saying about Muslims living in the UK or others who want to participate in support of the oppressed people all over the world. So we have this fear that if we do something, the British government is going to do X, Y, Z. Of course, Brother Masood has very clearly pointed out that there are legal matters that can be taken up. But not to fear that. So to come out of the fear, then you have a quantum leap. Then you can really achieve an immense amount of things. Because if we fear, then we go into the hole. That's one point. Quite quickly. Secondly, I think the whole idea of freedom, again, one of the fantastic slogans which was in Pearl Square was Imam Hussein's in Karbala, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes a baby Asghar before the Shahada and he speaks to the Yazidi army and says, whether you believe in God or whether you believe in the Day of Judgment, it doesn't matter. Be a free human being. This was a wonderful slogan.
Wow.
In Bahrain. So when you're a free human being, you can actually conquer so many things that you want to. If you're not free, then you're obviously subservient to the rulers, you're subservient to the media, you're subservient to anyone who wants to hold your hand and lead you astray. So that's the second point. And I think the third point, which is fundamental to the whole of the discussion, whether it's Bahrain, whether it's Syria or all over the place, and this is a point that I want our audience to really bear in mind, is that, look, again, Imam Khomeini used to say so wonderful things in very, very short spaces. He said, look, you have to analyze any revolutionary movement and look at it, saying if that movement is being supported and the people, the leaders are being supported by the oppressors, i.e. America and European Union countries, then just know that that movement is not with the people. That is really being supported by someone else. So, you know, any issue that our brothers have, if they get confused, why is this happening in this country? Why? Just see if Mrs. Clinton comes and says that, you know, that regime is bad, then you know that that regime is good. You know, simple rule as that.
Thank you, Brother Shabir Razavi. Brother Zahir, if you want to add up something.
Personally, I would like to thank all of them who are here today, who has given time at 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. And I would like to say there is a two-way direction there, right? At this moment of time, I think there is lack of leadership as well. There should be a good leader who can lead. Their people are hungry for justice. People are hungry, as he said, as Brother Shabir said, they are hungry, they want, and they have removed the fear. They want, they have come out. There is no fear now. Now they need some direction from the leadership. And I think personally, like, you know, they need a leader. And personally, one of the leaders have been arrested in Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Al-Nimr, right, who was outspoken, who was supposed to give them the direction. And these people, they target this type of personalities who speaks and who wants to direct the ummah into a right direction. And they want to target these people. And that is the reason he's been targeted and he's been under arrest. And not been given access by the solicitors and their relatives as well. So obviously he is in a very bad position where people listening to us, the viewers listening to us, I personally think we should write down to the High Commission in Saudi Arabia that this is not going to be possible. We know what is happening. We should prove them we are not sleeping, we are alive. We want him to be access to be given by the solicitors, and the relatives should go there. And inshallah, if IHRC is going to come up with some article, we should help them, and we should all write emails to the Saudi High Commission. And in terms of us over here, our responsibility are there. Individually, we should take a step, and inshallah, Allah will help us, right? And we should not think that what is the result of me taking an participation in demonstration if there is very less people in there. Even one person, as Brother Masood said, you, as an individual as well, you can go and stand against and express your opinion, right? That is going to give effect in the whole world, because we are in a country and we are in a city which attracts all over the world. If something happens in London, right, people are looking towards it, and they say, oh, people in London have protested, right? There might be few people, but then with that, instigate the protest all over the world. So it is our, we have got more responsibility rather than people looking towards London. What is London doing in their part in a particular aspect?
Thank you, Brother Rahim. So, Brother Amin, any message you want to convey to you?
Yeah, I do actually. Well, can I just quick say something small before the message?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to tell the people why Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr was arrested. Those who do not know, Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr is a man who lives in Saudi Arabia. He does not live under the oppression that Saudi Arabia is doing in Bahrain, but he lives under the oppression that Saudi Arabia is doing in Saudi Arabia. Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr came out in public, gave a speech condemning the actions. He told his government, paraphrasing of course, why do you send over our soldiers with guns and tanks to go kill, attack, oppress people in Bahrain, who do not carry weapons in their hands? Well, he wasn't carrying a weapon in his hand. Guess what happened? He was attacked. So that's what happened to Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr. It's very obvious. It could be put into a short story. My conclusion, my message to my brothers out there would be that there is a solution. These oppressors, they are not that strong. Everything is limited except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not so strong. The solution is your mind, your thoughts, your actions and your effort. If it was for me to actually lead, start something big and find the solution, it would be to create activists. I think the most powerful weapon today, the most powerful weapon in the West today for us, those who fight for justice, is creating activists. If you look at Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah bless his soul, he created activists. He overthrew the Shah. That's what he done in Iran. He made... How many, he's one man, how many activists did he create? Almost 70 million activists. What happened? He toppled the leader. Egypt, who are those people in Tahrir Square? They are activists, they are people who protest. You can be an activist anywhere in the world. And don't forget that we shouldn't limit ourselves. We are one ummah, whether you're in the West, you're in the East, you're in the South, or you're in the North. You're one ummah, you're part of this ummah. So you have a right, you have a duty to portray yourself and be out there fighting for justice for your ummah. And also, I just wanted to say that if I sit home, everybody sits home, and we let Al-Khalifa rule, the people in Bahrain go back home, this is what I mean. The revolution will happen. The people in Bahrain will never pull back. That's why I want you to support them from now. because it will just make the revolution faster. The revolution will happen, but we need it to happen faster. That's what we want. That's why we're here today. If I go home, everybody here goes home, and everyone else goes home that stands for Bahrain, and the people in Bahrain go home, then the Al-Khalifa mercenaries will go into those homes that the people in Bahrain went back into, and they'll attack, they'll rape, they'll abuse, they'll imprison, they'll show the most horrific scenes. So the people of Bahrain know this, they won't go back home, so please ask everybody to not go home. Go out there, be active, and do what Allah has granted you and given you as a duty to do.
Thank you, Brother Amin. Yeah. And Dr. Masood, especially the role I is playing and the campaigns you've been leading, what message you want to...
Well, we will continue this, and inshallah, if our viewers will look up in the next couple of weeks, they will see a huge campaign, which is going to be right the way through the Olympics and the month of Ramadan. We are fortunate that the brothers and sisters have been working on that, have actually just managed to put it together. You will see it. I won't break the news here. But I think there is something which, you know, we need to get activists. But as I said, you know, regarding Peter Tatchell, we need to have our activists working within restraints of Islamic sort of understanding rather than just becoming a victim of secular sort of secularism and that type of activism. Otherwise, we become loose cannon. You know, we will, you know, we will be pulled in all sort of direction. We will not have a real direction. And you know, we saw the victory in Iran. It was because there was a fantastic leadership. It was targeted, and you know, everybody came on board on Islamic principles rather than we jumping on other people's sort of platforms. I think the other important, very important thing is that we will not get rid of these rulers unless we unite. Not just unite between ourselves as Shia community or as Bahrainis. We need to unite with everyone. In Saudi Arabia, as I said earlier on, we are not going to be victorious until the whole of the Saudi community recognize that this division and divide and rule is what is happening. Everybody's being oppressed. You know, our report shows, you know, everybody's being oppressed. And we need to expose that level of oppression. You know, the Bahrainis are fantastic, again, example. They were shouting, you know, no Shia, no Sunni, we are Bahrainis. You know, and I think that message, we are actually Muslim. We stand for justice. We stand to creating a just society for all, not just Muslims, you know. So with Britain or anywhere else, we want to change it to create a better and juster society so everyone will benefit. And then we could actually stand and then really, then we become the real powerful tool that all oppressors will fear. And then inshallah, we're working towards that. And the information giving us tools to be a good activist is available on the IHRC website. But IHRC will become much more powerful if everybody else joins in and actually becomes part of that. We say, you know, join the struggle for justice, join IHRC. You know, really, that's it's not any particular person. Everybody, we all need to join together. You know, Shia and Sunni. I mean, there's not really time to talk about this, but when you analyze the oppression that you're receiving, be it in Pakistan or India or Bahrain or Saudi Arabia, it comes from one source and we are all being oppressed.
True. Thank you very much. I mean, it's so late for being with us, all the panelists. It's really been a nice discussion. Probably we need more and more programs to discuss more aspects, as you said. Especially the role media is playing, and especially the other aspects of this whole revolution and the other countries, how we can actively play our role. Thank you very much, viewers, for being with us. And we'll try to continue this kind of programs, inshallah. And we'd like to invite all of these brothers to have more and more discussions about this. But as everybody have said, it's now media have tried to make it Shia and Sunni division and try to hijack all these movements. But alhamdulillah, now everybody is talking about, it's not about Shia, it's not about Sunni. Even I think it's not about now Muslim or Christian. If you look at the demonstrations, now people from other religions are coming in, they are joining you, and it's more about justice and injustice. So there are two groups. Either you are with the justice or you are with injustice. Either you are with the oppressors or you are with the people who are being oppressed. So as brother have said, you need to be within the group of Nasirin. So don't remain unsilent majority of this country or anywhere in the world. Please come out, please speak about this. You have to stand against oppression. Do not be part of the Saketeen, be part of Nasirin. So categorize yourself, as Dr. Shriti have very well said, he categorized three different groups. Either you are with Sayyidu Shuhada, or you're doing the job of Sayyida Zainab Salamullah Alayha, or there's no silent majority, there's nobody else, but there are Yazidis. So you have to categorize yourself, where do you stand? Either it is Sheikh Nimr, either it is, the people in Saudi Arabia protesting for their rights, the people have been martyred over there, they are in Bahrain, in Syria, in Egypt, anywhere in the world where there is injustice, we have to stand against that injustice. Thank you very much for being with us.